Lord, we are sending faith tonight, reaching out to the heavens, receiving the help of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise and glory. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. He will give his angels charge over you. Thou shalt not dash thy foot against any stone. You will not stumble in the name of Jesus Christ. He will give his angels charge over Jehovah Jireh. He will give his angels. He will give his angels charge over. He will give his angels charge over me.
He will give his angels charge over me. Jehovah,
sing it one more time. He will give his angels charge over me.
He will give
them charge
over me.
He cares for me.
Jehovah Jireh cares over me.
The revelation of your might has come to us, and we acknowledge you. Thou great, thou strong, thou mighty. We are complete in you. We give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. I know it's difficult to cut it down at this point, but time is not our friend tonight. I'd like you to give your neighbor a handshake and welcome him or her to Zion. I believe God for that day when we open up the camp. When we come into the camp, we will only end the service when the Holy Ghost has ended. But now we are constrained, and so we have to cut things short. But the day will come. Oh my. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. My friend is a married man as of tonight. He is wearing an apparel with a glow. Now we have a message from his testimony. Prayer has power. Prayer has power. Preach for me. Preach to your neighbor for me. Prayer has power. Through prayer you can wiggle your way into the very epicenter of the palace and take something. Prayer has power. You can meander. Find expression somewhere and lay hold. Prayer has power. And all the tongues that were spoken, we saw its manifestation. Went to the sides of the north and claimed an inheritance by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today he's a married man. Please, in honor to the Lord Jesus, the great one. The great God that answers prayer. I like us to acknowledge the presence of Reverend and Mrs. Christopher Adjim. Rejoice, O Israel, for the Lord within your midst, He is might. And from this day you will go from strength to strength as you appear in Zion. Crooked paths will be made straight. The dark places will be enlightened. God will forge a path through the very belly of the desert and the wilderness. Amen. Now, I don't know if you have a testimony to give or something to say. I don't know. I don't know how long it took you, but maybe if you don't have to say, maybe your wife has to say. Cleave to her hand close. Please.
Hallelujah. I'm a married man today. Amen. I want to appreciate this local assembly for the support that you've given to us, this marriage being achieved today. Hallelujah. I want to appreciate all the pastors and my father. I'm not standing here to say anything that the devil did. He didn't do anything. Hallelujah. Prayer has power. Amen. In 2011, while we were being ordained in this place, I remember why I knelt down here. The very spot I knelt down while we were being prayed for. The moment the oil touched my head, the only thing I saw was this finger and a ring on it. Hallelujah. And I waited for that day. Hallelujah. And while we knelt down and the prayer was going on, the vision returned. Hallelujah. And I want to say this. I remember far back in 2003 praying. It's as if everything is hopeless. But I remember the word that God spoke. Say, I will give you the sure mercies of David. I've held on to that word, and every day I remember that word is as fresh as that very day, and I will hold it to the end. Hallelujah. And I trust that the Lord will also extend that word to you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to give the mic to my wife.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nabakatsuo bakachi shikapa ma bakaso de kokoma sansa segodia kakiso segodia esu segodia esu zankao zankao Shizankao makanele.
Hallelujah. 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 Once again, I appreciate all of you for the effort that you have put towards this day. Hallelujah. Words will fail me to tell what those of you sitting here have done. Hallelujah. I remember going to pay the bride price. What happened? My legs started quaking. But the Lord, there was a deliverer that was standby. Hallelujah. Waiting for that moment. And when the issue rose up, the deliverer showed himself. And that day was subdued. Hallelujah. I'm very, very grateful. And I appreciate for everything that you have done. Hallelujah. And I give God the glory. And I pray for those of you that are trusting God to see such a day come to pass in your life, that the Lord Himself will be merciful unto you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Basket. We want to stand with them in this seed that they are casting. And just in case your own has not happened, it's a good time to cast. Maybe an overflow of the bowels of prayer can work wonders. Work signs. Where's Josiah? This is a time. Borrow and cast. Borrow and cast. Josiah, borrow and cast. The fervent bowels of prayer works wonders. Amen. Okay, we are done with that, then we'll pray as a congregation. We need to acknowledge our mommies in this house for all the labor. They came to the occasion. I was just making do with the fried rice, and when I compared it with the substance of Mr. Biggs, I found out our mothers have excelled. They are reaching to the stars, the very stars of glory. Came out and saved the day. Oh my. I think we need to look for a special moment to gather them and pray and call forth the mercies of the Lord. I was touched and humbled at the same time. I didn't know whether to shake them or to kneel down. There's nothing as strong as seeing the spirit of the brotherhood rise in the land again. Nothing as strong. Where people connect, not because of tribe, not because of age, but because of God. For many of us, the last time we had that experience was on campus. But to see it rise in the land, it was humbling. So many sacrifices went to work. The great God will defend you. In the name of Jesus. So many people had to walk. Have you taken a look at the hall? My God. I'm humble. But the point is this. A few people must not always keep doing this. Everyone must have a part to play to see that the purposes of God are accomplished. As a congregation, one more time, want to bless them. Now this passage will be a passage in the corridors of light. We'll bless you with the mandate that God has proclaimed over this house. The wisdom by which this community was forged in righteousness under the auspices of the Holy Spirit. And by the tokens and the powers of the mandate that has brought us together, we bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please put your hands together for them. I'm really humbled. I don't have what to say. But I see the love of God burning and wasking strong like fire in our midst. Hallelujah. Now, for instance, Evangelist Chris, I'm not his mate in age or anything. Amen. Not his mate. But the Lord now brings people together from different places. We cannot tell how many times he has stood in prayer so that God will supply grace upon my humble life. Hallelujah. Great things happening because the will of God has been perceived by the sons of men. Some of us look back and we wonder that if all that we have seen up until this time was what God wanted to do through us, we are fulfilled already. But it happens to be that the Great One is saying we have not yet started. We look forward to a day of glory and light, wherein darkness will be subdued and the voice of the devil will be cut off totally from our nation and from our land. And it's quite encouraging to see God forging a pure brotherhood under the Holy Spirit. It is a foretaste of mighty things to come in the future. Just in case you are still dislocated and disjointed. You know, many people come here to hear the message, they don't want to be passed on. Hallelujah. May the Lord help you in the name of Jesus Christ. Your life needs to be ordered in order for you to find expression in the right place. There's a lot of rigor that is required to break you from the insufficiencies of your ancestral line and to line you up with the grace of God that helps our infirmities. God wants to forge people to constitute his last line of defense against the tyranny of darkness and the wave of deception that is blowing across the church and a generation that is facing severe crisis in the earth. And we see the work of the Lord and we marvel. Especially the brotherly love. And we give him glory. I'm humble. A scripture comes to mind before I get back to the Bible study we left off some months ago. Let me let you in on what is brewing in my spirit. Maybe for 10 minutes before I deviate back to where we left off. You are welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Great, great things that God is doing. Great things that God is doing. I went to preach in Calabar and I informed a few people of my journey. And they took it upon themselves to pray, to fast, to seek the face of God. I've never been as powerful like as that all my life. The anointing flowed. You know, I feel the anointing flow in my hands. But this time it was like a heat. I knew that was not the power that came because of my prayer. I was carrying upon myself the prayer of the entire clan. It's not one man that entered Calabar. It was a legion. My name is Legion, for we are men. Professors were slain by the power of God. Professor. One man wanted to come and find out what hit his wife, and his wife went down. When he came, you know, the best way to know is that the thing should hit you too. So we didn't have, we were excused from explanations. A mighty wind is blowing, and the devil has reason to fight. And that's why we need to be conscious of the fight that the devil has triggered in the realm. He wants to dissociate. He wants to come in. He wants to destroy that which God has built. Now I want to say two things before I begin to talk. Number one, are you with me? You see, it's very difficult to have a corporate reality burning amidst the people. Corporate, not personal, corporate. Because you can be strong as an individual, but your individual strength cannot carry on some battles. Some battles are territorial. Some of the things you want to fight with your small anointing is a territorial anointing, it's a corporate issue. And whenever a corporate reality is begin to build in the territory, is the greatest blessing that can happen to that territory, and it should be preserved. Many times, people that do not understand want to use their personal problems to destroy corporate reality. So the first law I want to put on ground is, don't allow your personal problem, please preach to your neighbor, don't allow your personal problem to affect a corporate reality. For instance, maybe you are languishing in some form of hunger and financial constraint. And then you now judge the entire clan and say it's because the clan is not caring that you are. No, see, bros. Alright? You have a personal problem which is not strange. Okay. That problem is not what? A lot of us have meandered through that passage until even hunger is afraid of us. Do not make your personal problem to become a corporate problem. And we must acknowledge that which God is building in our midst, and we must preserve it. There were generations past that people did not understand what was brewing in the territory. And when the devil came and snuffed it out, it led to many, many untold years of encircling the wilderness of darkness, because those territories fell into darkness. Now we have a star rising. We have a bright light rising, negotiating its orbit until it becomes pedestal. For the Bible says, no man lighteth a candle and puts it under a bushel. God is about to place a light in a place where all men will see it. And we must understand the price that it took to get that light to shine. Something luminous is rising from our land. Hallelujah. Amen. And we must fight to preserve it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Just in case you are still in the game of playing church, that day is over. And you need to quickly change camp, because that people in that category are about to be wiped out by a dimension of darkness that will come to test the hearts of men. Now, so help me ask your neighbor, are you part-time? No, they didn't hear. Because if they heard, they shouldn't be laughing. Ask your neighbor, are you part-time? Because what we are doing must affect your heart, the very core of your being, and begin to influence your philosophy and your perspective. The spirit of intercession and supplication is being poured across the body of Christ. If you have not yet started partaking of that spirit, you are in an old clan that is fast phasing out. The days of intellectual Christianity and a theology of keys that wears and wearies the keyholder, and the keyholder is disjointed because of abundance of keys that have not been applied. Those days are gone. I speak about the days of keys. We bask. Our diaries were filled with keys that were never used. And when darkness came, we were plundered. We thought that if we stopped our brain, we were strong enough against the enemy. Our spirit was lean, our brain was stuffed, and darkness swept us. We had no weight. The theology of keys have ended. Men seek the reality of the living God. That's why my Bible is turned to the book of John, and I advise that yours should be on John too. It's good to be back home at least for a few days. A day will come when we'll not need to travel back anymore.
Amen.
We'll set up the lantern and it will burn forever. In the name of Jesus. But you see, we all are going through a process. In the fullness of time, we understand it. Even though our understanding might be unfruitful, our spirit judges that we are in the will of God. In the book of John chapter 5, as I bring you into the things brewing in my spirit, is brewing in John 5. But I'll get back to the message, the foundations. If you are still here, say amen.
Amen.
Oh my God. Thank you, Jesus. John chapter 5. So my charge today is titled, You Don't Need an Idol. Now, you may not know what I mean by idol. I need to translate it in Idoma and Tiv. In Tiv is Akombo. You don't need an Akombo. Now, I need an Idoma man to help me. Idol, those ones in shrines. Ichebo. Hey! You don't need an Ichebo. Please help me tell your neighbor and speak. Use your language. You don't need then. Flow it in your language. Now, Thelma, what did you say? Wait. Let's conduct an interview. What's it in Igbo? You don't know. So how did you say it? You didn't say it, all right. I need an Igbo man to help me out. Huh? Now, you see, Evangelist Paul is here. He'll help.
You don't need what? ROC.
You don't need a chapel. In the book of John chapter 5 verse 37, Jesus speaks to us. And Jesus said, And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. See, I'm sufficient in the Father. His witness is sufficient for me. But Jesus said, ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Hallelujah. If you got me, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Listen. In the book of John chapter 12, Jesus is speaking. And when Jesus begins to speak, he begins to give us, introduce several things. Please, walk with me. Now, I want to go high. I want to be drunk this evening. We need to take incense barefooted to the altar. And to receive the name of that altar. And to light it up over this land. So, I need wine. I need to be drunk. You know, the Bible doesn't condemn going high. He only recommends how you go high. Going high is necessary. But the substance with which you get there determines where you arrive. Which of the heights. Oh my. Jesus, when he was introducing to us the ministry of the Holy Spirit, said that the Spirit of God, when he comes, he will guide us into all reality. All truth. All reality. Because the spirit realm has a different shape from the natural realm. Are you still with me? Can you hear me from the back? Alright, the spirit realm has a different shape from the natural realm. And the time has come where everyone in the house of God must know his God. The reason for that is because there is a wind and a wave of deception that is blowing across the world. Deceiving demons have been released in quantum to ensure that the very strand of the knowledge of God that revolves on the heart of man is compromised. So much so that the average Christian will not have the knowledge of the God that he serves. And there is a technology that God has factored. Now, when Jesus was introducing the ministry of the Holy Spirit, Jesus called him the Spirit of Truth. And he said he's the Spirit of Truth that will guide us into all truth. So it is God's will that we be guided into truth. Not just that we hear truth. Because what the Bible calls truth are not words, what the Bible calls truth are spiritual realities. And that's why Jesus said, I am the truth. Because truth in the spiritual realm is a personality. A personality that holds the accurate perspective, accurate revelation position of God about an issue. And God wants to bring you into that accurate position. It is only when you are there that you can see accurately from God's perspective. Now, there are spiritual things in the heavenly places that God has kept for us. It's part of our inheritance in Christ Jesus. And you see, the Bible called it places because the places are different. The place where you stumble upon this thing is different from the place where you stumble upon that thing. That's why if you truly speak in tongues by the inspiration and the utterance of the Holy Spirit, you will never say the same thing any two times. Because you were in a different place. And you spoke out of where you are. Now the Bible says that he that is from above, he speaketh the words of God. See, your position determines what you say. Your utterance is tied to your position in the realm of the Spirit. Are you with me? And just like astronauts study space and explore space, God has called us to explore Him through Christ Jesus. Now, so there are dimensions of God. There are levels of God's operation. Levels and their dimensions. Levels talk about a progressive sequence. Level 1, level 2, level 3. And then dimensions talks about coming into an altogether different reality that you have not seen before. So in God, there are levels and there are what? Dimensions. Now, see, in these levels, there are things, spiritual things. And those spiritual things are spiritual substances. Now, it's like a lecture, but it's not. See, when you talk about healing, the doctor cannot really explain healing. The best the doctor is doing is to give you drugs that will activate some antibodies that will do the fighting. Alright? But when Jesus looks upon a man that is sick, he designs it into the spirit realm and calls it a spirit of infirmity. He doesn't do the rigor of trying to investigate and trying to find the signs and symptoms and subjecting the man to lab tests to come up with blood perspectives, all kinds of analytical things that doctors do to get a clue of what is happening. And sometimes they don't even get a clue at the end of the day. Just to show them that their equipments are not specialized enough to detect spirits. When Jesus shows up, he says, you are bound by a spirit of infirmity. And when he rebukes the spirit, the situation improves. Why? Because Jesus understands the reality that is responsible. Now, so while in the natural realm, we talk about words, we talk about places, we talk about physical stuff. In the spiritual world, we talk about thrones, we talk about realities. Okay, you can play now. Thrones, because the spiritual realm is shaped in such a way that it must carry the language of authority. You see, the reason for the differences in the heights of heavens is because of authority. A man operating from the second heavens has a measure of authority, but it's not as much as a man operating from the third heavens. And so the Bible speaks about Christ and where his throne is situated. His throne is situated far above principalities and powers, indicative of the fact that the authority at his disposal is such authority that is not comparable in any sense and context with principalities and powers that he sits above. That's how the spirit realm is shaped. The strongest man is the highest man. And only a man of heaven can open the window of heaven. Are you still with me? You know, it's time for us to speak our father's language and crack his jokes. It's time for us to understand how God talks and to talk like him and function the way he functions. And so there are things in the realm of the spirit, just like if you want to explain God with words, your words will become weak because God is not a word. God is a spirit. So words are not strong enough to explain God. A man must have to have an experience that is factored from the realm of the spirit, that has enough stature, an experience that was triggered by God for him to have an insight about God. Are you with me? Oh my God. How can I testify today when you are not here? Except that experience is triggered from the realm of God, it will not have enough stature to bring you into an understanding of God. And so Jesus says that the words that I'm speaking to you, they are not empty. They are spirit. They are life. So from Jesus' perspective, words are containers that carry reality. Because those words will be short of what they speak about if they don't contain what they speak about. And when they come to you, they bring an impression. They bring you into what they are talking about. So experientially, you become that which they are talking about. And so you know that which is being spoken about. From the privacy of your heart. Because something has happened that has brought you into it. That is the ministry of the Spirit of Truth that guides us into all reality. If we are going to navigate through the spirit realm, we need a tour guide that can impart the reality of everything that is in that realm. So that we being on earth can interface with a realm that we cannot see. Because there's a power of a spirit that brings the reality of that realm to us. It is only when the Holy Ghost functions in that wise that we can know things that we have not seen. We can go to places that we have not gone to. We can understand things that we have not been taught. And that is what the Bible calls the excellent spirit. The excellent spirit is not about blending colors and making places look nice. The best guys that do that on earth now are gay. But God, the spirit of excellence, is that operation of the Holy Ghost that takes us beyond the realm of men and understand things by the eye and the wisdom of God. In order for you to operate consistently on that platform, you must be in touch with this personality called the Spirit of Truth. That is his ministry. That's what he does. He advertises the spirit realm. He advertises the mission and the ministry of Christ. He advertises the resources that Christ has made available to fulfill his purpose in redemption. And when you give him half a chance, he helps your infirmities. And by the spirit of might gives you the ability to do exactly that which God has spoken to you about. Did you get that? You didn't get it. I know. Now that's why we have a lot of scriptures in the Bible to help us. Some scriptures emphasize some things. Others emphasize. It's the same thing he's talking about, but different emphasis. So that we in the three-dimensional world with a weak mind that is not almost all empowered by the Holy Ghost can look at the scripture from this perspective and receive illumination. Can look at it from this perspective. And that's why we need to study the Bible every day. In the fullness of time, when God helps us and bring all his people in diaspora back home, we will celebrate a feast. I call it the feast of the word. And we will journey from Genesis to Revelation in 1 month. The time will come where you will be able to see the many-sided wisdom of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. In the book of Exodus chapter 24, God invites a people to come meet with him on the top of a mountain. Can we go to Exodus chapter 24? It was a hallowed experience that they had. Very hallowed experience. Exodus chapter 24 from verse 8. Okay, let me go to verse 9 to save time. Then went up Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and the 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet as it were a paved walk of sapphire stone. And it were the body of heaven in his clearness. My question is, how did they see this personality? Beneath his feet, the Bible says, the pavement was like the walk of sapphire stone. And his countenance and his body was not earthly. He means it was not natural. He carried the body of heaven. And that body was a clear kind of body. Now, who can explain what happened there? The Spirit of Truth. It's a link between heaven and earth. Hallelujah. And he furnished, he brought them into contact with the reality of God. Now, I'm not talking about an idol. An idol does not touch the spirit that is represented. An idol is in natural realm. The spirit that it opens you up to is in the spiritual realm. Your only contact with that spirit is through the portal. You know what I'm talking about? Here, you don't need that idol. The Holy Ghost makes you touch God directly. That's the spiritual truth. That's what it does. That was why these guys were able to describe what they saw. It was a clear picture. And every Christian that is existing in this day that has not had this kind of experience is not sure of his God. That Christian is a danger to us, a threat to our existence. He's the one that will sell us out when pressure comes. He will take off when the going is tough. But a man that has seen, a man that has touched, a man that has handled. You know, the Bible says this was the words of the apostles. We cannot stop talking about what? The things that we have seen and heard. And so if you are that kind of person that has not yet seen, you will run away when the going becomes tough. When somebody puts a dagger to your throat, you will deny God. And so we must go to that point where we'll reach a place of covenant with God. And the easiest way to get there is that God will have to bring you into reality. Do you get that? Now, so this guy saw God. I don't have time to explain what the dimension of God that they saw. But because that would have, the key into that understanding would have been the sapphire stone. Would have gone and found out how the sapphire stone is. What is it for? Then insight will come to us. It is needful for you to understand that God can sustain different forms. He can come to you in great light today. He can walk as if it's a man. That's why you need to yield to the ministry of the Spirit of God every day for you to know his appearance today. You get that? You see, when Jesus was going to Emmaus, what he did was that he appeared in a different form. And so it was difficult for the disciples to know that it was him. And he kept asking questions, they kept speaking and going, and when they got there, the Bible says that they broke bread. Then it's as though he was transformed to the form that they knew. And so he can sustain different modes and forms. But irrespective of the mode and the form that he sustains, it is by the Spirit of Truth that we are introduced to him. So the Spirit of Truth is the bridge of heaven and earth that connects you with realities, with personalities, with places in the heavenly realms, and makes you have contact with those places. It's not just visual contact, experiential contact. You touch the personality, you hear his words. And Jesus was speaking and he said that, you see, the reality of God that I'm experiencing and what I'm doing, I have a witness that testifies about the quality of what I'm doing. The Father is the one that witnesses about me. And you guys have never seen his shape. You guys have never heard his voice, indicative of the fact that we could actually see the shape of God and hear the voice of God. He was talking about his own experience, that once and again I see his shape and I walk in the reality of the wisdom of his voice. It's unfortunate you guys have not seen it. So there's nothing I can tell you people now, and no Bible study I can do to bring you people to that level. If you have not seen it, you have not seen it. So apart from the Bible studies that we do, every one of us must have a first-hand encounter with God. So that it's not like a story you heard, but the confirmation of what you have touched. Christianity must move to that level. Discipleship must move to that level if we are going to preserve what is on ground in this country. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. In the book of Isaiah, where we read this morning, Isaiah chapter 6, at least we can see the context. Because when God appeared in Isaiah chapter 6, we see that there was a throne in the city, there was a throne that was issuing forth from the temple. It was Isaiah that told us the true reason why Uzziah died. Because Uzziah died because the throne that came from the temple struck him. And then when we look at the scenario, we now discover that as this throne that was coming from the temple was coming out, was projecting itself, and Isaiah saw, was in the visual environment of the realities that was taking place, the proclamation that went forth around and about the personality that sat upon the throne, whose train filled the temple, was holy, 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 holy is the Lord. So what God was requiring at that time was holiness. And as he was coming with that requirement, suddenly Isaiah discovered that his mouth was contradictory. Now, can you see there was no preacher there? Nobody evangelized to him. An encounter made him, my mouth. Meanwhile, the young man was prophesying in Isaiah chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. He even prophesied against nations. And every time he prophesied, before that time, it was woe. Woe. He wakes up in the morning, sees something, and said, woe. He was a cursing prophet. Woe. And then, when he saw God, he knew who was the real woe. He said, woe is me. That's how much a man can change if he has a first-hand encounter with God. His ministry can change. His paradigm can change. His perspective can change. The way he views himself can change just because something comes from the spirit realm and the Holy Ghost gives him enough access to touch the reality of that. It was the revelation of God's holiness. And there's no way we preach it that you can understand it except you touch it. We can stand on the pulpit and say, don't fornicate, don't commit adultery, don't. And people will still be committing. I hope you know that. And that's why the New Testament ministry of God is different from the old. Because as you are, if you have touched holiness, if you have encountered that reality of holiness and you are preaching, you don't even need to preach the subject called holiness before the spirit of what you encountered begins to minister and shape the lives of men. I preached many messages that I didn't talk about hell, about accident, about danger, about death. Just preached God. And when I gave altar call, people cried out. What happened? There was a reality that was furnishing something entirely different from what I was saying. But what I was saying gave that spirit the opportunity to carry out that furnishing. Woe is me. I'm undone. It was a revelation of God's holiness that he saw. And it shaped his life. Because when you have that kind of an encounter, it lives with you all the days of your existence. Forge upon the canvas of your mind. You will speak about it all your days. You are a slave to such an encounter. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 1, we see another perspective. For the prophet at this time saw the revelation of the glory of God. For the first time, when the prophet was trying to explain his spiritual encounter and experience, he was short of words. He could not explain what he saw with any human word. Try to read Ezekiel chapter 1. You will wonder, what is this man talking about? Because the thing he saw, there were no human words to explain it. When he struggled to explain it and he failed, then he now told us what he saw. This was the likeness of the glory of God. It was the glory of God that he saw. There was no word to explain the brightness. There was no word to explain the beauty. He broke out of the very heavens. And I need you to show you where he was, where he saw this. Because Ezekiel was a church boy. He grew in church, swept the floor, mopped the pews. He was a church boy growing like a very, very disciplined, character-based Christian. Until his nation fell to the hand of his captors. And they were bringing them as captives under the band of the great king of Babylon. From nation to nation as they went, he slept in concentration camps, and he saw all kinds of promiscuity, all kinds of perversion and immorality and darkness. And he was wondering that the world had, you know, he didn't know that world. He didn't know that world. He saw all kinds of stuff. It was at the river Kabar. In fact, they mocked God, because David told us about that river. Say, at that river, the people that took us captive requested one of the songs of Zion so that they could make mockery of God. And the people saw that the request was not a valid request, because it was mockery they wanted to make. And they say, how can we sing the Lord's song in a stranger? It was in Kabar. That was where Ezekiel said the heavens were open. In the midst of the promiscuity, the midst of the perversion, in the midst of the idolatry, all kinds of things could go. Anything was possible. Right there, who told you God can? My God. The deepest revelations of God that people ever got, they got it in crisis conditions. Most of the songs of the book of Psalms that were written, they were written at the backside of the wilderness, when David was trying to escape the sword of the king. Pressure brought something out of him. It was when they wanted to stone him to death, the Bible said he lifted up his eyes and he saw directly into heaven. Prior to that time, we thought that there was a bronze ceiling that separated heaven from earth. But here is a man that looks up there and he sees beyond the cloud, nothing blocking his gaze. He's the Son of Man standing in heaven. Jesus said, you have not seen his shape. You have not heard his voice. You need to see his shape. That's what will make what you carry strong upon your heart. Come with me to Revelation chapter 4 as I round up. Then I'll go back to my message. God led me to share this with us. Because I believe there are things he wants to begin to open to you. There are many things that only Jesus can tell you. No preacher can tell you. Yes, you have to see Jesus yourself. When Paul, on the way to Damascus, saw that light, fell off that light, was blinded by his illumination, was taken, and he was kept among the brethren. And suddenly, the Spirit of Christ began to hover among these people, looking for one to send. And it was in the morning devotion of Brother Ananias, as he opened his heart, the very vista of heaven opened. Sometimes many people ask me, how do you see the scriptures, all these things that you preach about? No, it's not the open book. It's the open heart. The heart opens before the book opens. No matter how you labor on the book, without an open heart, the book is sealed in its container. The young man began to pray, and when his heart opened, the vista opened alone. And Jesus appeared through the vent of his vision and spoke to him about Saul. Now, wait. You don't need an idol. Because the Spirit of Truth brings the reality. If the Spirit of Truth wants you to talk to Elijah in heaven now, he opens the vista. And Elijah will be standing before you. And he will speak in a language that you understand, even though he may never have spoken such a language on earth before. But if it's Steve you understand, Elijah begins to speak. The Holy Spirit works out the mechanics of how that realm and this realm can intersect in a most natural way. That's why he goes by that name, the Spirit of Truth. And right now, by his ministry, you can be on earth and attend a meeting in heaven. Your opinion can be sought about the deliverance of your village, about the deliverance of your clan. You have never seen his self, nor heard his voice. He appeared that day and said, Ananias, there's this young man that is in the colony of the brethren. He's blind. He's in the house of a young man, mention the name, Simon the Tanner, on the street called Straight. Okay, how will I know? What if there are 5 blind people there? He said, when you get there, he will be the one praying. Because there are so many people there, but they hardly pray. But since this one came, he has been praying. And I bet you, when you get there, you will find him praying. His heart is trying to ask some questions that no book of law can give him answers. He needs my voice. He needs me to speak to him. But when I came in the light to speak to him, he became blind. And so I don't want to go back. You go with flesh and bone and bear my words upon your lips. And as you speak, lay your hands upon him. He shall receive his sight. Then he will hearken unto your word. All of that drama was to get a man's attention, so that the ministry of the Spirit of Truth can prosper. You have not seen his shape, nor heard his voice. The Christianity in our nation is fake. We see so many things being heralded in so many cities. The percentage of accurate and Bible Christians is on the diminished scale, because men have doctrine. Men don't have God. Men have teachings. They don't have God. The reverse needs to be the case. Ananias didn't have so much doctrine, but he had a God that was alive. A God that could speak to him mouth to mouth in his morning devotion. That God cannot be explained by... was threatened by the fury of the name Saul. And even though Jesus was his Lord, he was tempted to ask a question with all of the best courtesies that he could gather. I have heard of this man, how he has wreaked havoc of the church, seeking to waste it. He said, that's the perspective of the devil. For I have crowned him. He will be my vessel. I placed upon him the cloak of an apostle. He bears the burden of the crown office. Much grace has been multiplied unto him. When you get to him, you speak to him, say, Saul, the Lord Jesus that met thee on the way to Damascus. He said, make reference to that encounter. Why did Jesus instruct that Ananias should make reference to the light? Because there is nothing on earth that can explain the light. God will take you beyond the confines of your mind. There is a light that your eyes cannot perceive consistently. And we need to have the encounter of the first fathers to herald the gospel with as much tenacity as they carried it. Lest it die in our day in the hand of fraudsters and marauders. Today, occultists are pastors. Marabouts are pastors. They come to church with mantra. We can no longer make do with our Bible study outline. We need to see his face and hear his voice. Because they can take everything away from you, but what you saw, you will see to the end of your days. Because it's as much a part of you, becomes as much a part of you as your own beating heart. Sometimes I try to put myself in the midst of the Acts of the Apostles. There were men that knew a God that was alive. Oh my. But when we look around the lives of many Christians, there are more reasons to be afraid than to be in faith. Say, the Lord Jesus that appeared to you on the way to Damascus, he sent me, that I should lay my hands upon you, that you should receive your sight. This is his will. This is the reason why he sent you. He said, you will know his will. And he said, you will see the righteous man. And hear words from his mouth. Now, see, that experience, that encounter is what we call the mouth-to-mouth experience. You will know his will. You will see the righteous one and hear what? Words of his mouth. That was why death could not swallow him. He was not afraid of anything that claimed to have the power of death, because he has no covenant with death. He had a covenant with life eternal. And life eternal was still life in the midst of death. So he knew that beyond death, he was alive. How did he come about this strange conviction? He saw the immortal. He saw the invincible. And he heard words from his mouth. That's what the Spirit of Truth does. He makes the connection, so that a being of heaven can encounter a being of earth. He makes the connection so that a being of earth can speak to a being of heaven and know that the being of heaven that he has not seen with his eyes has heard his voice. The Spirit of Truth. Except you have that personal encounter, that personal traffic, and have confidence in that personal dealing of God, you are a slave. Finally, before I switch, I cry like this because deception has entered into our borders. And when there's infiltration in the army, what the commander-in-chief does is that he secures his last line of defense. That you can pass through the troops, you can pass through the infantry, you can pass through. But the people that guard the armor, there must be no infiltration there. That the custodians of the keys to the breastplates were hardware, war hard kept. There should be no infiltration in their ranks. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Oh. So the average Christian is lean and hungry, devoid of reality. You know, I went to Bible school, studied the scriptures, principles of faith, kingdom economics, all those courses, did them, and thought that I knew God. I went to a village to evangelize. And met the people that I went to evangelize to, knew the devil more than I knew God. Then I knew that there was something lacking in my gospel. I knew how to say it right. The difference between a man that speaks from the realm of reality and a carnal man is not in what they say. Because when the disciples tried to cast out a devil and the devil refused to go, and Jesus came and casted out the devil, Jesus actually said what the disciples said. So it was not in what they say that the difference was. No, the guy said it right. They knew what to say. They have seen Jesus many, many times do deliverance and cast out devils. Cast out devils from people and from territories. So they knew what to say. If all we know when we graduate from Bible school is what to say, we are imposters. Because what makes the difference is not what you say. It's the reality that authenticates what you have said. That is what drives the power of your utterance. That is what fills your utterance and travels with it. That is what makes your statement law. and the territorial powers will have to adjust themselves to accommodate this new decree. The same brother Saul. It is the Lord's will that you should know his will, and that you should see the righteous one, and that you should hear words from his mouth. Tell your neighbor, words from his mouth. I want to end with one scripture. To end, if we are there now, just stop. We'll end today. We'll continue tomorrow. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 3. Now, this is a graphic explanation of the spiritual theater. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, we can see it very clearly. The operation of the Spirit of Truth. He said, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image of glory, the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The reason why you cannot do without seeing, you must see. In the economy of God, seeing is a constant. To see spiritual things, to have access to the spiritual realm. The reason why you cannot do without it is because that is God's way of achieving transformation. You see, when God came in the revelation of his holiness into the temple and the prophet saw him, instantly the prophet knew that his position was wrong. Can you see that? And then when he cried out in repentance, he said, alright, no problem, since you have acknowledged you're wrong. Say your iniquity is passed away and your sin is purged. He was placed on a different pedestal. That is transformation. Transformation cannot be achieved until you see the original. It's the devil's trick to get you walk on duplicates. But every one of us, in order for us to really be sons of God, we must function by the spirit of adoption. The only way we can sustain and operate by the spirit of adoption, where we know that God is our God, we can lay ownership to God, is when he comes and gives you an encounter of himself. Now, have you read the book of Psalms where David calls Jehovah my God? No, it is not rhetorics. For him to come to that point of security where he finds a place of inheritance and sonship in God, it came by an encounter. It came by the operation of the spirit of adoption. That is the dealing of God that comes upon your life that makes you know that you have a stake with God. It's on the strength of that position and standing and stature that you can command deliverances up unto Jacob and God will respond to you. It's the operation of the spirit of adoption. Are you with me? You are not with me. Say, we behold as in a glass the glory of God. By the operation of the spirit of truth, our God is no longer absent and our God is no longer invincible. You can see his shape and you can hear his voice. It's only a man that is living, a being that is alive that has a shape to be seen. Only a being that is alive that has a voice that speaks. He said with open face. He will give you the capacity to behold the glory of God. And it says that that experience is essential because that is the only basis upon which you can be transformed into that which you have seen. So in the Holy Ghost ministry of transformation, He makes you behold first. You want to go in your anger, and you say, well, you can have your anger, but after you have finished fighting, 5 years of your life will be years of pain for your anger. Then in the light of that voice, you now judge yourself and you find yourself wanting and you adjust. Hallelujah. You know, there's not so much of adjusting going on in the lives of people now, and that is a proof of the fact that we have not seen shift. In my life, when I thought I was the best Christian upon the face of the earth, I was walking in the air of holiness. Jesus, the great one, came and He showed me myself from the spirit realm. I turned into glass and there was something black like coal here, and then they arrayed me in the courts of heaven and said, we have this one, he's willing to serve, but he has a problem. And I was looking at me, I'm great, man. Then I now looked and saw blackness. Hey, they say his problem is pride. So I saw pride in his spiritual form. So I know it. When pride is operated in the pompous form or in the one that masquerades as humility, I understand it too. They're as deadly as both, as each other. That false humility is actually a manifestation of pride. You know, pride has different shapes, and I know all because I saw it in the spirit realm. And God was trying to tell me that my ministry has to do with revelation, and revelation and pride don't mix together. That for some people, this kind of pride I want to operate, he can overlook it for a long time, but for me, no, because so He showed me pride, so I know it. When it is rising up, I know the injection to take. I go to the hospital and I admit myself. Have you seen a patient that is so patient that when he's sick, he's the one that goes for admission? He takes bed in the hospital. In God's clinic, there's a place called the intensive care. Patients in that place, they admit themselves by themselves. Now, they don't wait for diagnosis and lab tests. One, they understand the symptoms. So when he comes, they say, I came to take bed. That is the only way we're able to handle holy things and to stay alive. You have not seen his shape or heard his voice. And to you, he's absent. To you, he's invisible. To you, he's like a friend that is far away, that you have lost touch with the sound of his echo. He said, I don't want to be far away from my people anymore. And that's why he instructed that I teach this. You don't need an idol, because the spirit of truth will furnish the reality. The idol presents the replica, but the spirit of truth makes you touch the actual in real time. As we pray today, some of you, your eyes will be open. You don't need to say amen. It will happen. We need that touch. If not, we are going to be fake ourselves. Eventually, we'll become fake. We can fight the fakes today and then end up fake, because we have not seen his shape and we have not heard his voice. And that's the only way the pure brand of the tree of God can grow within our borders. And more will put the devil to flight. The world is in dire need of men that know God. When I went to preach in Malawi, people trek from Zambia 2 days and a half to come for the meeting. 2 days from Zambia and a half. When they came, they were like people that were raised from the dead.
Oh my God.
Ah! I saw people that did not have money to go to the hospital, so they had to believe God for healing. That was the reason for the signs and wonders that came in raw form. God must be with you. All these sideline moves that we do, no. See, you must see his shape. You must hear his voice. If not, you'll be among them that will fight Jesus. Jesus said that I function with a witness within my spirit. And you see, the reason why there's no way I can explain to you is because you have not seen. You have not heard his voice. That's why you fight me. You think you are doing God service by fighting me. But it's unfortunate that you have not seen his shape. If you see his shape, you will repent. The world is in dire need of men that know God. Trek for 2 days and one afternoon. And they led me and said, these ones just came from Zambia. And they came on foot. Their legs were scorched. When you look upon them, you don't need a dictionary to tell you about poverty. None of us here is poor compared to those ones. You are not poor. I saw poor people. Hey. And they trekked. How would the world be if everybody in this hall sees his shape? All kinds of demons, demonic operations that I've never seen before in my life. When I spoke from what I've seen, I saw the Lord heal the bodies of men and restore it. Even things that they scanned and saw after prayers, they went back for scan and it was not there. It was verified. The microscope and all those things could verify that the healing had come. We went for water baptism and I prayed on the river. Prayed on the water. Alright? As people were coming into it, they were being delivered. They were manifesting. The river started conducting the power of God. Yes, the river. Who told you that every river is bad? No, if the land is cleansed, something else will dwell in the waters. Jordan healed the sick. It was at Jordan that the Holy Spirit took bodily shape and alighted upon the head of Jesus. It was at Jordan that the portal between heaven and earth was found. And a man could transit from earth into heaven. At Jordan. Who told you? I saw the water bring deliverance to people. They were taking us to the airport and we branched in a place. As we branched there, I was speaking to the father of the house, was like 67 years old. He said his ear was deaf, his left ear, from the age of 9. And I put my ears and I was talking to him that Jesus has the power to heal, and I had not yet prayed and his ear opened. And the man cried because the ear was hearing very clearly. The man that was taking me to the airport, that was his father-in-law. He called his wife and cried that your father hears from both ears now, from the age of 9. There was a young man in the hall, their last born. As I was doing prophetic things and saying the things that God was saying to me, the young man was saying in his heart, these fake people don't come over. The Holy Spirit, I amplified his thoughts and I was hearing his thoughts. And I went to him and said, this is what you said in your heart. Repent! As he wanted to repent, I blew air on him and he was slain. We left him there. All these things happened in 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Deaf person started hearing in 5 minutes. Their mother with arthritis began to walk. And the young man was convicted and slain. All in 5 minutes. And, hey! The man said, No, this is too fast. Wait, come. Now you come with me, go to my room, sleep for 30 minutes there. On my bed, so that I know that you have not seen his shape, nor heard his voice. Oh, I met with the pastors in that region. And I gave them our messages, about 500 of them, that they should give every pastor in that region. The testimonies coming forth are strange. Iron sharpened iron. And so shall a man sharpen the countenance of his friend. We need men that know God to make him known to our generation. Facing severe crisis in the earth. All kinds of deception, all kinds of darkness. We need men that have seen his shape and heard his voice. I was preaching at the local court, the local witchcraft court. The nun gang up, they said they want to attack me. Right behind the altar, I saw a red serpent. And I said, "Guys, Pastor, you guys have a cult here. The name of the cult is the Red Python." As I mentioned, Python, 13 people began to manifest. They were doing like snake. Some people ran away from the. It was a sight. Oh, my lover. We stopped the sermon and conducted deliverance one by one. One. There was one that fought all the ushers, slapped them. I said, "Okay, no more. Leave this one. You are making him too popular." I continued my sermon. After 30 minutes, with the eyes and the Holy Ghost, won the day. The fear of God broke out of the land, that the news got to Zambia and Tanzania. While I was there in the night, just trying to gather my spirit together to pray, and then the vista opened and the Lord Jesus appeared in the room. And he told me, "Do you know these people?" He cast a vision before my face. I saw people wearing red shirt, red trousers and white shoes. He said, "These were the people that received Christianity in the first generation. Do you know what I told them?" Then he began to tell me what he told them. And he said, "The pastors of this day have deviated from me. That I should go and preach the same thing as I preached those sermons." Oh, God confirmed his word. He confirmed it with signs. He confirmed it with wonders. We need men that know God, because the nations are crying. One a.m. in the morning, because the flight was by 11 in the night, little delay. And I was, the guy whose father-in-law had sent text, he was crying in the bus while he was going back. He took night bus. Rise up on your feet, let's pray. Because the voice of God must return to our land. We are not that generation that will tell about the miracles that were done in the days of our fathers. We will not be the generation of Gideon that will tell tales and stories, speak about deliverances at the mighty hand of God, and wonder, "Where is the God of our fathers?" Because on your forehead a name will be written. A name will be written upon your forehead. Because God wants to commission you to stand and to man the gates of your environment. and to lift up the stained banner of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah. 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 Bye. Hallelujah.
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 We hunger and thirst for you in a dry and weary, weary land. Sick, we hunger and we trust for you.
Lives of many people. It's a release from heaven. It's a release from heaven. In the name of Jesus. Now, these are the things that the Lord is telling me. You see, the spirit of prophecy is coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. That spirit is coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Ushers, help me, help me. Bring that person that is prophesying. There is something flowing here. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen. Now, put her in one corner. Okay? Listen. These are the words that the Lord is dropping upon my heart. See, the Lord is telling me that there are people here that He wants to begin to encounter deeply. He wants to begin to encounter deeply. Now, let me touch her. He wants to begin to encounter these people deeply. Now, there is an anointing that will rest upon a few of them to take them to the place that God wants to take them. Now, some people, there are some of them that you will not feel anything. But God will begin to encounter you deeply. Now, know this. When these deep encounters come, it means God is calling you to a higher level of consecration. When they begin to come, if you want to maintain it, you will step up higher. God will show you what you need to do. But that oil is here, I feel it. He will begin to touch them. I don't need to give the command. The anointing will begin to drop. That anointing will take you to a place in the spirit. To take you to a place. It will open doors to encounters to you. To open doors of encounters. You see, the anointing is coming stronger now. It's coming stronger now. You see it now? It's coming stronger now. It's coming stronger now. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. The oil is dropping. It's dropping. It's dropping stronger. It's dropping stronger. Father, in the name of Jesus, let the oil that will take men into deep spiritual places, Let it begin to drop. 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 Let it drop. Drop. Let that oil drop. Let it drop. Let the oil drop. Yes, let it drop. Let it drop. Father, let it drop. Let the oil drop. Bring the young man for me. Now, I need an usher to help me here. Help. See, I don't think it's God's will for me to lose my trouser here. Now, Lord, there is a place you want to take your people. Take them. Take your people there. Domino, the Lord is calling your name. I'm hearing Domino. Yeah, let me touch her. There is a place that God wants to take them. God wants to take them. Domino, there's a place he wants to take you. Stand up. Let me bless you. Just be looking at me. Just be looking. Just be looking. There is a place that God wants to take a few people. An anointing will rest on you, and that anointing will take you to that place. Now, the anointing will take you there. We're still strong in the hall. He's still strong. Still strong. Father, there's a place you want to take this lady. There's a place you want to take this lady. There's a place you want to take her. And I came, Lord, to give her, transmit into her, that which you want to release upon her at this point. There's a place. There's a place. He will take you there. He will take you. Father, can you lift your right hand with me? There's a place that you want to take him. The anointing is strong in the hall. Now, you see, some taps are being opened now. Some taps. Tap. It's opening some taps. And something is beginning to flow. It's beginning to flow. It's flowing. Now, it's flowing. Now, it's flowing. It's flowing. Lord, this tap that is open. This tap. This tap. This tap, Lord. This tap. Let it flow. 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 Let it flow stronger, stronger, stronger. Take him to where you want to lead him. Let the anointing that will take him there rest. It's flowing. Father, this tap. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Ikabo bosata balande, presetembos govazabala. Oh yes. Listen to me. Listen. Listen. Now, there is an utterance that is going to come forth. An uncontrollable utterance will break out. I'm hearing it already in the realm. It will break out. It will break out. It will break out. Father, by the power that is in that utterance, take that brother, take that sister to where you want them to be. By the power that is in that utterance, by the power that is in that utterance, take them, take them, take them, take them to the place where you want them to be. Take them there. I rebuke that pain on the stomach. I command that pain to go. The deposits of God that have been released is to ensure that you are taken to the place where God wants you to be. It's to ensure that. It's to ensure that you are taken to the place where God wants you to be. Father, let your simultaneous operation begin in the assembly to equip men for a journey, a deeper journey in the realm of the spirit. I banish that fear upon the life of that sister. Now, there's a sister here. God has been trying to draw you, suck you into the realm of the spirit, and you have been running. Father, I ask that you release an oil upon that sister that will make it impossible for her to run again. Father, from my left hand side to my right hand side, from my left hand side to my right hand side, locate that sister, 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 locate that sister. Holy Ghost, move. Your well will never run dry. We never run dry. We never run dry. Now, where's help me with that, sister? God wants to equip us for a higher work. Higher work. Higher work. He wants to equip us. Now, just shake me. Shake me. He wants to equip us for a walk. Walk with him. The time for maturity. Time for expedition in God. Is this the only sister? Where's the other one? Okay, okay, sir. Father, this one has been running. So we want her not to run again. Let there be an overwhelming grace. An overwhelming grace that you cannot resist. Kai, 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 Kai. Now, there's one of you, I'm feeling it because I'm close by. There's one of you, God has long deposited something upon your right hand. I'm seeing it. You are within my circumference, my vicinity. That the anointing of God will hit you right now. Will hit you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, that one that has that deposit. Oh my God, it's already coming. It's already coming. That deposit, that deposit, that deposit, that deposit, that deposit. Locate that one. Locate. Look it. Father, in the name of Jesus, Braille takoba, braille maske, braille. I'm feeling now. The anointing is on two people here. Some two people close by for me now. Father, locate those two. Locate them. Holy Ghost. Bring her. Come. Receive of the Lord strength. Receive of the great one's strength. Mommy, shake me. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon. Receive a dose, another dose. Strength from the Lord. Strength from the Lord. Strength. Strength, Lord. Strength upon your son. Strength. Strength, Lord, for him to access the things, the new things coming. Strength upon him. The Lord is at work. Father, Father, from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, Father, let the power flow from his head. Release him from the yoke. Release him from the yoke. Release him from the yoke in the name of Jesus. Yes. God is not happy that his people remain on the same spot. Time to take a trip. It's time to move, sister. Father, time for her to move. Come, give me your hand. It's time to move. You can't be on the same spot. It's time to move. In the name of Jesus Christ. Anyone that they use charm, the true charm at you, that have been troubling you, I neutralize the power of that charm. Listen to me. I'm seeing somebody's money that is tied down. Some people, I don't know how it happened, but people are owing you and you have done some jobs and the monies have refused to come. They are tied down. I'm seeing that now. There is money tied down that God wants me to lose. Father, in the name of Jesus, oh my, Kaboseta la aparanas kembrezo vosomoto minekebria badase. Now, God is showing me that person that has some money tied down, there are some utterances, negative utterances you made that has strengthened the devil in his attempt to tie the money down. Now, so take the blood of Jesus Christ and revoke that utterance right away, right now, so that we can release the money. By the blood of Jesus, revoke that negative utterance that is strengthening your enemy. Revoke that utterance. Revoke it right now. Revoke it right now. Revoke it. Oh. Revoke it. Oh. Oh, yes. For those people in that category, lift up your two hands. For those people in that category, that monies are tied down, we are going to lose it right now. Now, a lot of things that you would have entered into, the devil uses a strange kind of fear that he has casted upon you. Now, when that fear comes, the doors are closed. You understand the fear I'm talking about? When the fear comes, there's a fear. There's a fear you're used to walking. Okay? You understand what I'm talking about? That fear closes doors. Closes doors. It has affected so many things right now that is leading to some form of depression. Because some things that would have opened, you put your heart upon it very close. I want to open it. But you see, no, I will not yet until you receive the instructions. There are some things wrong with your life that you need to fix. Now, see, God is releasing some of the money now. Some of the money have been released already. Yes, I'm seeing that now. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, these monies that are tied down, oh my God, I'm seeing some of the padlocks opening up. They're opening up, they're opening up, they're opening up. In fact, one has opened up so strong now. One of the monies tied down, the padlock has broken off. Yes, some others are breaking. Father, we receive it for them. We receive it for them. We break the locks. We break the locks. We release the finances. I release it in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, 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 yes. Aha, some testimonies are going to come in. I'm seeing an anointing. There's an anointing reaching out. Strong, it's coming strong now. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, we remove the hindrance. We remove the hindrance. Thank you, Jesus. Now, all those people in that financial condition, please come and give me a handshake quickly. Come and give me a handshake. It's not everybody, I say. No, not everybody. The people that I prayed with now that have money tied down, those are the people I'm talking about. Don't come. If you are not in that category. No, okay, go back. All of you. You are lying. Come. I'm seeing your own. I saw your own. You. Pras father, I saw your own. Where is Sister Ngovan? These two, I saw it. So shake. Now God is showing me something. Wait, I stand there. Don't worry. Stand. Don't run. Stay there. Okay. Two of you, I saw your own. So stand close. Now listen. God is showing me that He will release His anointing on some of you as a sign that He has opened it. Let's pray now. Even if you don't believe, you don't need to believe. Be skeptical. Father, in the name of Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. See, the anointing of God will come on two people. On two people. In the name of Jesus Christ, you see. See that anointing. See, that's a sign from the Lord. That's a sign. Now, the anointing will still come on somebody else. Father, In the name of Jesus Christ. You see, I'm feeling the anointing. The angel has brought it. It's coming closer and stronger. Closer and stronger. Closer and stronger. Father, in the name of Jesus, you said you will give us a sign that the anointing will come upon two people as a sign that the finances are released. Locate, Father, locate. Locate. Can you say that? He said he will release it on two people as a sign. I release your finances. I command the padlocks to be broken in the name of Jesus. I open the pathway to your prosperity. Receive the anointing to prosper. Receive the anointing to prosper. Receive the anointing to prosper. Receive the grace to prosper. The grace to prosper. The anointing to prosper. In the name of Jesus Christ. Shake me now. Shake. When you shake, you sit down. The anointing, the finances will be released. It will be released. It will be released. It will be released. It will be released. Believe in your heart while you shake, please. It will be released. It will be released. When you get back to your seat, you sit down. Ushers, let the offering basket go around so that we can close. Come. You need more than a handshake. I need to blow on you. Amen. It will be released. It will be released. Those money hanging, tied down, I release them in the name of Jesus Christ. I release it. 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 I release it in the name of Jesus. I release it. 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 In the name of Jesus. I release it. I release it. I release it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come, you come. Stand here. I release it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I release it in the name of Jesus. 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 There's something that I'm seeing that you have lost. Something was taken from you. Come. Now, for you need more than a handshake. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, those blockages. I'm seeing blockages. I command those blockages to be removed from his way. Let him have an entrance of grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Things that were stolen from you, the Bible says that men will despise a thief if he steals only to satisfy his hunger. But when the thief is caught, it shall restore sevenfold. I saw the thief that stole from you, that rendered you null, rendered you void. Things were taken from you. But today, in the name of, you see, the anointing is already resting on you. It's coming strong. It's for restoration. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I demand that everything that was taken from her be restored. Be restored. Be restored. Be restored. That's the anointing. Yes. Good. Be restored. In the name of Jesus. 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 Ushers, let the offering baskets go round. In the name of Jesus. Ogbet. Kai, Ogbet. The money won't come. Take your mind away. Take your mind away. Take your mind away from that money. Look ahead. That one won't come. Wait for it. It will come. Wait for it. Okay. Ogbe. No. Take your mind off that. It won't come. God wants to begin new things in our lives. And He wants to take us to deeper places in the realm of the Spirit. He wants us to increase and heighten our concentration and devotion to Him so that we can sustain the new things that He's bringing our way. Hallelujah. It's a new day. Okay. Remove your mind from there. Hallelujah. That one won't come. That one won't come. Now, have the offering baskets gone round? You are finished. All right. We are going to rise up to close. But I want to say a few things. Today is what? Saturday. Sunday, Monday. Okay? Sunday, Monday, we are going to take two offerings. Now, one of the offering is the normal offering. The other offering is a seed that we are going to sow into the life of my brother. Please. Sunday and Monday. Now, if you believe like I do, obey that instruction. Come with two offerings. Cast it. Sunday evening, cast it. Monday evening. One of the seeds, the set of the seeds, will go to my brother. I'll stop there. Now, you see, there is something unique that is coming into Otukpo. It's a spiritual opening that is coming into the city of Otukpo. It's a visitation of God. It will come, it's like a brief window. A brief window will open. And the reason for that window is to water the grounds where there are seeds so that there can be fast growth and germination of a few people that will father other people. That window will open over Otukpo City. Otukpo. A brief window. Now be sure to enter into that window when it opens. It will be a brief window. That window will demarcate between him that serves God and him that serves him not. So that people will look for true and just fatherhood that is planted by the Spirit of God. Responsibility will increase thereafter. So capacity must of necessity first increase. It's a window of God that is opening over the city of Otukpo. Hallelujah. When I was in Lagos, I was in Oju. I was in Igede land. And I was seeing that there was a new type of witchcraft, a stronger type of witchcraft that was brought into Igede land. Because in the spirit realm, I went there. And when I went there, the witchcraft began to affect me. So I now came back from the realm and began to pray. What exactly was that? He says it's a new kind of witchcraft. And that witchcraft is going to manifest with a strange spirit of infirmity that will knock people down. Sicknesses that will resist medical cures will rise out of Oju. Now, the intercessors within that territory are hereby enjoined to keep their watch, especially the watches of the night, between the time of 12 and 2. That will continue for 2 months and that plague will be averted. Although, even if it's averted, there will be signs on ground that it passed. I saw that in Lagos. I saw also that the devil wants to attack this ministry. In fact, the forces that have been gathered together to do that fight. Malando Samate Koba. That's why I just had to come to give this proclamation. There is a battle that the devil has put in place. But you see, the reason why, by the spirit of prophecy, God gives us prior information is so that we can get set. Not everything we can, but God can empower us with the strength to go through the motion. Hallelujah. Now, for the past few months, I've been seeing that the devil has been trying to take one of us. struggling to take somebody so that we go for burial. But you see, before I came back from Lagos, that burial was cancelled. So those ones that have been held under the clutches of the enemy of their own free will, of their own accord, they will recover. Because the time has passed for that activity to find expression. It will not prosper. Hallelujah. I'm also seeing that there is a chronic unbeliever of one of our mothers. That is our mother's husband. One of our mother's husband. This guy is a chronic unbeliever. I'm seeing that salvation is going to supernaturally break on that life. Supernaturally. Yes, the person is going to be almost fanatical about his God. Yes. Now, also listen, there was a financial siege that held the hands of people for the first hand of the year. I came to proclaim that that siege is over and the finances will flow. Now, there are a few people that God personally told me to warn. I can't warn them from the pulpit. I know their address. I'll just go there and say, Jesus said. Yeah. So that one is not pulpit work. I can say, Baba said that. Those of you that can't see a dancer and sleep without dreaming, you are the ones I'm talking about. When you see dancer in the daytime, you see her in the dream. You are about to cause us a major problem. Those people that see dancer in the daytime and in their dream, they go to airport with dancer in the dream. Those people are about to cause us a major problem. So I speak in parables. Put yourself in order. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, what God has built is for the deliverance of even many people that we do not yet know. And that form of carelessness cannot be the reason why it is lost. So the word of God comes to bring you under check. Alright? If your heart is lusting after a guy or a dancer, the best thing to do, come and report yourself. Just after the service, say, I am guilty. Don't wait for me to come. Just say, I've been looking at things. Come. We'll settle. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, blazing holiness is a requirement of this moment. Blazing holiness. Because God is about to visit his people. And if we can maintain the temple that has been created before the month of December, there is going to be abundant visitation. Abundant visitation that will not only change us spiritually, other dimensions of releases will come. And we'll have a testimony. By December, there will be a deluge of testimonies. For those of you that came from the city of Otukwo, this is time to take a fast after this meeting and seek the message of God. A little rain we fall is for the maturing, hybrid maturing. People will be taken from some steps into higher steps because the grace is available. Now, in Oju, there's a plague. There's a plague. Before the showers will come in Oju, you have to conquer that plague. It's a plague that affects the body. Hallelujah. So that is how much I saw. That is how much I suffer now. I did not seek Boko. I tried to seek Boko. It was cut from me. It's not the time. Maybe it's in August that we'll seek Boko. I tried. No. It's kept. Yes. Victor. There is more grace coming upon you guys there. Much grace. Especially expressed in the area of miracles. I mean healings. You will become a skillful man in the ways of healing. Yes, you will see it. Testimony, great testimony. I've been seeing it for some time, but I was not bold to tell you. But the anointing I'm seeing on that your side, you will have the testimony of a dead person come back to life. Watch it. So God will just organize the circumstances. When the time comes, the anointing like a cloak will come upon you. You will know it. And you'll not be afraid. The dead will come back to life. Now, God has decided that he will visit us in this season. Before the end of the year, there will be numerous changes. I saw that the place where our church is located in Oju is the wrong place. We have to change the location of that church. We set it in the wrong place. We were blind when we set it up. We have to move it close to the school. You will see what I'm talking about. There'll be rain. There'll be rain in the name of Jesus. So it's located in the wrong place. From what I see, more centers are going to open in that your axis. They will cry to you. I'm seeing somebody that has fought you. He's a sorcerer. He will come to you in the night. If this person comes in the morning, it's not the one I'm talking about. If they come in the morning to confess, it's not the one I'm talking about. The one I'm talking about will come when? In the night. Will come. Because God is making you the father of that region. At your voice, things will begin to move. Things will begin. Even that crisis at the border, begin to speak about it regularly, that you stop the crisis. It will wither like a grass. Because God has positioned you. There will be a sign. The dead will come back to life. I've been afraid to tell you, but I'm not afraid.